When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The biggest breaking news stories, an outspoken opinion. The Breakfast Briefing with Julia Hartley Brewer on Talk Radio.
Good morning to you. It's Thursday, the 23rd of March. You're watching Breakfast with me, Julia Hartley Brewer, on Talk. Coming up, Boris Johnson has promised hand on heart that he didn't lie to MPs when he denied Downing Street parties had broken his own lockdown rules. Meanwhile, MPs voted yesterday to endorse Rishi Sunak's new Brexit deal for Northern Ireland, despite a rebellion by 22 Tory backbenchers, including Boris Johnson and Liz Truss. And the Bank of England is expected to raise interest rates again today after a surprise jump in inflation. 6:33 is the time. This is Talk Breakfast. Well, good morning to you. Thank you very much indeed for your company. So much to talk about on the show. And don't worry, it won't all be Boris. But yeah, he's a key figure, not just for the evidence that he gave yesterday in the House of Commons to the Privileges Committee, but also for what he said to us exactly 3 years ago today. Let's have a watch and a listen.
From this evening, I must give the British people a very simple instruction. You must stay at home. And therefore, I urge you, at this moment of national emergency, to stay at home, protect our NHS, and save lives.
Well, many of us did stay at home. Millions, by the way, also still went out to work, including those in Downing Street. Not sure we did protect the NHS, given the state it's in right now. And I'm not sure we did indeed save lives, if you look at the excess death toll for countries like Sweden. Even in comparison with their Nordic neighbours, they've seen fewer long-term excess deaths. It's 3 years on. We're going to be talking to some key figures who we've spoken to over the last 3 years about that decision. And I'd love to hear from you. Announcing that first lockdown 3 years ago, I just want to know what your thoughts are today. How did it affect you? Do you think it was the right decision, wrong decision? But just what your feeling is today. Do tweet me at TalkTV and text the word talk to 87222. Joining me in the studio is Alan Tolhurst. He's chief reporter at Politics Home. Just before we talk about Boris, your reflections, not just on yesterday, but your reflections on 3 years ago. You're part of the media political class that cheered all this stuff on.
Yeah.
What are your reflections?
Yeah, I think it is a moment to kind of reflect on it. And I think that we got a lot of things wrong. How much of that stuff we could have got right at the time, I think, is definitely up for debate. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. I think back then, I had no understanding that 3 years later, it would still be the biggest topic of conversation, I think, in political circles.
Well, it was 3 weeks to flatten the curve. It's 3 years to flatten the country.
Right, exactly. And so it is really interesting. And watching the reporting on those, that was a press conference. It was just that statement, wasn't it? It was really interesting to know that, you know, that was kind of it for then. I think actually it's interesting to talk about. We talk about lockdowns now. There's a lot of conversation now about whether it was a real lockdown, as in a true lockdown, as in whether it could have gone further.
If only we had locked down more and earlier. Oh, yes.
Yeah, earlier and harder. And that is a debate that's still going to be had. And not much of one you're very open
Look
to.
Look at excess deaths in Australia and New Zealand right now.
Yeah, absolutely. But then, of course, they didn't get on with the vaccination while they were in the
lockdown.
Oh,
there's always a but, isn't there? It's
up for debate, isn't it?
I was already in lockdown. I already had COVID. I caught it on the 16th. So I was already, my daughter and my husband were all already at home. So I watched all that from home anyway. And a lot of people were already from home. And Boris Johnson, actually, there's a 6-minute clip that in total. And he talks already about how a lot of people are home, but we need to do more.
Yeah.
And again, the deal was, we were told, 3 weeks to flatten the curve. And I remember talking to people during that time. I was like, it's not 3 weeks. They're going to review it in 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think it was 12 weeks to flatten the curve. And it was going to be reviewed after 3 weeks, I think. But 12 weeks came and went.
It certainly did. Well, look, we're living in the aftermath of that. And certainly Boris Johnson is living in the aftermath of that. Look, he gave evidence promising hand on heart that he didn't lie to MPs when he denied that Downing Street parties had broken his own lockdown rules. We vividly remember what he had to say 1st of December and the 8th of December 2021, when it first emerged about a party that happened, Christmas and Leaving party, a year earlier in December 2020, when we were heading into lockdown and people's Christmases were cancelled, seeing their families after all those many months, people being separated. What did you make of genuinely his performance and generally what the Privileges Committee had to say?
I think his performance actually started off quite well. Obviously, he's had a lot of time to prepare. Yeah, his opening statement, obviously, the very eminent and expensive QC, Lord Panic, sat behind him, who we're paying for, by the way. He's taxpayer-funded.
Good point.
£222,000 of taxpayers' money went towards Lord Panic's preparation for Boris Johnson. So that the opening statement was quite good and quite persuasive. He was talking about how, you know, he wouldn't have gone to these events had he known, etc., because he was the one setting the rules. But as it went on, that defence started to crumble and his ability to stay calm and cool under pressure started to go. And by the end, he was getting rather frustrated. His supporters behind him were getting, the MPs especially, were getting more frustrated, especially with Bernard Jenkin, the Conservative MP, towards the end. And I think he started to kind of destroy his own one. And for me, the key bit, there's lots of to pick out, was that he said, he was talking about the mitigations that were going on in one of the pictures. And he was asked, you know, what mitigations? And he was saying things like, well, you know, we didn't share pens. We didn't pass pens to each other. And then Harriet Harman, who was chairing the committee, interjected and said, but you were drinking at this event. Surely you were passing around drinks to each other. And he said, well, yes. And you just think, well, you know, you just blown your own.
But also, we had screens and things, and masks and things. But I've had it on good authority, and I wrote a piece back in summer of 21, long before this. It went in the Mail on Sunday about how, you know, no one was wearing masks. They would wear their masks walking up for the cameras in Downing Street, like Matt Hancock's on video, to actually walk through the back door of Number 10. Taking his mask off. I mean, it was an absolute absurdity. None of those pictures do you ever see anyone wearing a mask.
Or screens or any of the mitigation.
They were always in another room, apparently.
Yeah, this was in the vestibule and they were in the next room. And, you know,
not that they should have had to do that, but we had to do that. Actually, one of the things I looked at yesterday, hearing about all these, you know, parties, and I found a video of when one of my colleagues here left. And we literally stood there, 2 metres apart. Mm. Anyone standing had to wear a mask in our office. You're sitting, you didn't. But our desk, you can see, there's all these signs saying closed. You had to have, you know, diagonally, you know, opposite chair. You weren't allowed to sit, you know, next to anybody. Very few people allowed in the office. You walked in the office, you did your show, you left. You weren't allowed to stay for more than like 5 minutes afterwards because the next team would be coming in. And, you know, people have to stand in the lift. 3 people in the lift facing the wall. I mean, it was, but it was insane. Okay, rules, by the way, made by people who are probably all working from home. But you know, I'm looking at this is someone who'd worked on this show for years, and really much, you know, loved and respected colleague leaving, and all we were allowed to do is stand 2 metres apart and go, well, thanks very much, goodbye. Yeah. And that's all we were allowed to do.
Our editor, Kevin Schofield, is now at Huffington Post. Yeah. He left in 2020. We didn't have a leave interview for him. We had one drink over Zoom. He'd been editor for 5 years. Was this huge figure in the company. Yeah. And he left with nothing.
But
happened.
This is it. With Boris Johnson.
But apparently for Boris Johnson, it was really important for him to improve morale.
It was essential to improve morale. Absolutely. And that's the thing he kept talking about. But again, it wasn't essential for people to attend funerals or children to go to school or anything else. I mean, that was the thing. It was this idea that they were just, living a completely different existence from everybody else. They were still, I've no doubt at all they were working very hard.
Yeah.
But in terms of some of the questioning, I mean, one of the things that struck me as well was that Boris Johnson's defence previously was that, look, he didn't know. I mean, we've gone through everything over the last year or so. He didn't know there were any parties. Oh, he did know there were parties, but they were the rules that were kept.
They weren't parties.
They weren't parties. And he wasn't anything. Oh, no, he was at some, but when he was at them, the rules were still intact. And as he points out, he wasn't fined. It was a work event. But again, this is the difficulty. It's both his work and his home. He could be anywhere he wanted. There's some technicalities why the police didn't find him. I also think, frankly, it was all a stitch up. The fact that the only fines, the only fines that were actually issued to Boris Johnson, also issued to Rishi Sunak, who it was proven, as he pointed out in PMQs yesterday, the Sue Gray report actually pointed out that he had no idea. He didn't come to an event. He came to a meeting, turned up 10 minutes early, and then there was cake and
serves you right for being early.
Yeah, well, exactly. So, I mean, I've always thought that was unfair, that fine. I really do. And I do think it's also unfair, a load of young staff getting fined when, look, they were breaking the rules. And they must have known they were breaking the rules, and I still loathe and despise them all for it. But as far as they were concerned, the bosses were saying it was okay. How Simon Case is still in a job?
Yeah.
Absolute mystery to me. But Boris Spence moved on to, he was advised by senior aides, this is what he put in his dossier, that the rules were followed. How could he possibly distrust that? He was insisting that these senior aides, and questioned again and again by different MPs on this Privileges Committee, and some of the most damning questions, by the way, coming from Tory MPs on his own side. He then said, well, he couldn't name the officials. He couldn't sort of remember who it was, but he couldn't name them. But they did advise him. And then he said, oh, we didn't receive assurances from people like Simon Case or others. All these senior people saying, well, I didn't tell him it was all okay. And then he admits it was basically two political advisers who were at the parties who told him it was all okay. They, in their evidence to the committee, we understand, have denied telling him that this is all within the rules. So it appears to me he has lied again.
Well,
because all of those statements that he has made, they cannot all be true at the same time.
Right. It is interesting that in an inquiry to work out whether he has lied before, whether he has now lied again. But I think, you're right. And I think that was one of the moments when MPs were genuinely surprised by the evidence they got from Johnson, was that he obviously said in the House of Commons, I've had repeated assurances that no rules were broken. And as you say, under questioning, he admitted that those assurances that he got were from his director of communications and from his press secretary. Yeah. Both of whom are political appointees, one of whom he appointed himself, not from, let's say, senior civil servants, government lawyers, the cabinet secretary, which I think a lot of people at the time would have expected and would have thought that if the prime minister is standing up saying, I've been repeatedly assured that guidelines aren't broken, that it would come from people like that, not from political appointees.
But again, the fact that he's always relied on this idea that there was this workplace exemption. There wasn't!
No.
I'm going to bang on it. It's like, hey, here's the question. There'll be people shouting at the radio right now and the TV, and there'll be people, and I've had some people tweet me, say, I'm going to turn off today because I don't want to hear you banging on about this. It doesn't matter. It was 3 years ago. Some of these parties were almost 3 years ago. May 15th of May 2020 was the first one. It just... Move on.
Yeah.
Does it matter?
Yeah, I was wrestling with this yesterday after watching evidence. Because if you zoom out, these are very small fry in amongst the much
eating
wider...
Eating cake and having a bottle of wine.
And the hundreds of thousands of deaths. But I think what's so important is that it's about trust in politics is what it comes down to. And when the next big thing comes along, when the next pandemic comes along, if people no longer trust the politicians, if the hypocrisy damages that trust to a point, people are not going to go along with things before. If we have to go into lockdown again, say in 10 years' time, is people's trust going to be so damaged that they're not going to go along with any of the things the governments would try and do?
Good.
Sure, but you know, but as in, there are some things that people should comply with that the government will do, and people won't do that if they don't trust politicians. And this is what it's about.
It's
about getting that trust sorted.
Yeah,
out.
Again, it's the fact that we just think that lockdowns are a normal, sensible, moral, right way of handling pretty much any situation. That's the insanity we're still fighting. And if you think that that doesn't matter because it's all over, think again. It's going to happen to us again unless we stop it. 6:45 is the time. This is Talk Breakfast.
The biggest breaking news stories, an outspoken opinion. The Breakfast Briefing with Julia Hartley Brewer on Talk Radio.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.